people don't get that much done in an office. As I mean, if you look at the numbers around productivity anyways, I mean, we spend 8 hours, 9 hours in an office, but we're really only working for maybe 4 to 6 of them.
My name is Patrick Cornoyer, and I'm the chief evangelist here at Peakon. Over the past few weeks, COVID-19 has had a significant impact not only on the world, but on the world of work. For example, the state of remote work has jumped into the future probably 5 to 10 years, and the impact of that is significant on how we work. As part of my role here at Peakon, I have the opportunity to have conversations with many people in organizations, from CEOs to managers to frontline employees, and to really understand how COVID-19 is affecting their work today. So we decided, how about we record these conversations and share them with you? In this first conversation, we're going to speak with Matt Orozco. Matt is a member of our team here at Peakon who has a significant amount of remote work experience. So welcome to the conversation, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. So my name is Matt Orozco. I am one of the account directors here at Peakon. I work in the sales function predominantly with our larger clients, people with over 5,000 employees. And I've been at Peakon since February of 2019, so a little over a year now. Prior to that, I've spent about 12 years in the sales space. 10 of those has been on the HR technology side, working in companies relatively large and also relatively small.
That's good. So you were in a unique role here at Peakon. Obviously, Matt, you and I have had quite a bit of opportunity to work together over the past year, but your role is unique. You live in California, correct?
Correct. I live in Long Beach, California, just 20 miles south of downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, perfect. And you have a unique role as far as it is a remote-based role. So you constantly are working remotely, and you've been working remotely since the day that you started at Peakon. And as you were talking about in your prior work experience, you've also had roles that were remote, part of the remote workforce. So could you tell us a bit about your experience with being part of the remote workforce?
Yes. So I have a bit of an interesting story of being remote in that it kind of happened by accident. So when I first started working in HR technology, I worked at a company that had an office in El Segundo, California. But I picked the least close territory by working on the East Coast of the United States. And so I was on planes quite a bit. And it was more of a hybrid role. So I had an office that I would go to, but I usually ended up traveling for about 2 to 3 weeks every month. So I was pretty much on my own for quite a bit of that time. You know, it was a great experience, but I did still had an office to go to. So I was in somewhat of a remote hybrid. But when in 2016, I moved with my partner to Arizona because she was going to begin her med school journey. And in order for us to continue our relationship, especially being together, we were long distance for 2 years before that, actually. So when we moved in together, it was also because she was beginning her med school program. And I was fortunate enough to be working at a company at the time who was enabling me to work remotely. Now, there was a couple other employees there. But since then, since 2016, I've been purely remote, having worked at, you know, smaller startups with 13 employees. From there, I worked at IBM for a while where most of my team was remote. In fact, I hadn't actually ever met my manager in person until I started. So I had some interesting experience working in a very remote forward company. And then obviously has spent a couple other times at companies similar to Peakon where I was also working in a remote capacity. So a lot of this has been really more fortunate to my kind of lifestyle, which is I wanted to be there to support my partner through her journey. And at the same time, we've been fortunate that technology and especially in the sales function, the tools that are out there have made it really, really easy to transition work to a remote environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting to hear about the different types of remote work experience that you've had, right? Where some opportunities where you were remote, but you did have the opportunity to go into the office, and similar situation here at Peakon where a certain amount of times during the year you come and join the New York team and the North American team in the New York office. So we're finding ourselves, as you know, in this very uncertain time where we're all working now remotely, and there's many members of our Peakon family and organizations across the world that are now working in remote circumstances, right, from home and for the foreseeable future. So with your background and your experience with remote work, one of the challenges that is coming up in the current environment is that people are having to quickly adapt to reduced social interaction. And that's a challenge for a lot of people. And it's a challenge for me, I'll be honest with you, because I work with people the majority of the time. So I'm also struggling a bit with reduced social interaction. So how have you handled that over your past couple of years? And what are some of your thoughts and ideas on how to successfully overcome that?
So I think to start, technology has been a huge help, especially the past 2 years. I think the rise of tools like Slack and also Zoom in particular have really made it very easy to engage in video conversations, which while don't really replicate the kind of face-to-face interactions that you get in an office, they do help create a sense of familiarity, which really, as a remote employee, you know, I used to work with GoToMeeting quite a bit, and using GoToMeeting, you know, seldom would the camera be on unless it was a mistake. And so if the camera was on, you know, it usually got shut off pretty quick. And most people just conversed over the phone and used the share screen options. But with Zoom, we now have a chance to create a connection that we couldn't before. And other similar tools, right? I don't want to say that they're the only one, but the one we use here is Zoom. And I feel that it gives me a chance to get to know people in a more familiar way so that when I actually get to meet them in person, I don't necessarily have to do that whole match the name to the face game. I already have that familiarity. So I think the use of those kinds of tools has made it a lot easier to foster relationships within an organization, especially when I'm one of a handful of people that work remotely. The other is, I think that there is a misconception about remote work in regards to how people and companies think about it, in that we tend to believe that organizations have the 100% of the responsibility to make remote work successful. And I think that there's some truth to that, but I also think it's a 50-50 split. I think that companies can only do so much to provide avenues for remote work. The other part of it relies on employees to show up. And so part of the commitment I've made, because I am a bit of a social creature, like I'm an ambivert, so I enjoy my alone time to recharge and kind of set my bearings, but I also do thrive off of inner social interaction. I like to think of it as like a battery, you know, it kind of drains and then I need to go recharge it. So for me, I thrive off of that interaction and being able to, you know, not only just show up in the times that I'm supposed to, but do the right things and lead with the right behaviors, like turn on my video, make sure I'm there a little bit early, always making sure to raise my voice or share my thoughts or opinions, share content, share ideas, engage in conversations. All of that, I think, creates a familiarity of me, which makes it a lot easier for when I go to an office or when we go visit our colleagues. I don't necessarily have to reintroduce myself. People already get a sense of who I am from how I interact. So I really use those tools to my benefit as well as to the benefit of the business to make sure that I'm staying and engaged with the resources that are available to me, and then raising my voice as well when there's things that I think could be improved.
I think you bring up two excellent points. Well, they're all excellent points, but two in particular really resonate with me, which is the concept of it's a two-way street, and it's a good realization for all of us is that it's not just the responsibility of an organization to make remote working work, right? Like we all are in it together and we all have to commit to succeeding in this. And in particular, for those that are new to this or have been put into this situation because of the current circumstances, what type of advice, like you said, I like the concept of not being afraid to have your voice heard and doing that in a way that is practical and beneficial. But what type of advice would you have for your colleagues or other people in other industries that are in the same situation right now where they're all at home? Now they have their children at home and their partners at home and they're forced into a brand new world of and brand new environment of working. What type of advice would you have for them? I think those are two that you just said are great things to consider, but what other types of advice would you share with new remote employees?
Yeah, it's almost cliche now, the things that I've been saying for years, because now it seems like the world has picked up on some of them. But I truly believe that one of these is, and I've just recently learned this in the past year and a half, so this is a journey for me as well, which is to give myself a break. And I mean that both literally and figuratively, in that, you do literally need to go up and get a break. So practically, it's nice to go out and walk around 15 minutes every day and just get some fresh air, have some social interaction with other people. I think it does wonders for your mental state. But alongside that, you have to also recognize that because you're remote, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be more productive than anybody else or that you need to work longer or you need to work harder. I think that's what we put on ourselves. It's a pressure we put on ourselves because we believe that this responsibility comes with a lot of expectation. And I think that expectation, you know, some organizations set that tone, others don't. But I think inherently as human beings, if you want to do well, whatever you're doing, you always are going to encumber the burden of doing well on yourself. And so I think when it comes to remote work, we tend to believe that because we're remote and we've been given this opportunity, that we don't want to squander it or waste it. But we end up spending so much time worrying about being productive that we realize that we actually are much less productive because we're just worrying about the things that we're not doing or could be doing. So I think it's important to recognize first and foremost that if you don't feel like you're being as productive as you could be, you're probably not, but that's also not a bad thing. And your productivity might strike you in ways where you don't expect. I mean, I happen to do some interesting work at strange hours. You know, when I'm at 9 o'clock at night, I like to write proposals. I tend to have creativity then. So I think finding what works for you and just giving yourself a break and not being too hard on yourself is a really important component of working remotely, because you can, you know, really stress yourself out and burn yourself out if you continually try and burn the candle at both ends just because you think there's something expected of you. And the second, I think, really practical piece of advice for me has been embracing my space and having a space. I'm going to put those two together, as you know, may not make it on video or anything, but I have my personality is what surrounds my office. And I used to be embarrassed of those things because I wasn't sure how to show my kind of, not so much my true self, just show a bit of more who I am to others, because I thought there was this expectation of professionalism that you needed to be, you know, in the white room with nothing going on behind you so there's no distraction. But the reality is, I think it helps people understand and appreciate you as a person when they get a little bit of a glimpse into how you work, where you work. And as a remote employee, we don't have that chance to necessarily share our interests in the same organic way you would in like a one-off conversation. So if something that's in my office strikes up a conversation, I want to own that because I feel like that's who I am. I don't want to hide that from anybody. But also having that space is really important to knowing when work gets done and where it gets done. And I think mentally, if we don't create a separation, and I know a lot of our colleagues, especially in New York, for example, like they don't necessarily have the luxury of a big place to spread out. But even just moving away from where you sleep or moving into an area of an apartment or a studio or wherever you might be working that's a little bit more cut off from your television or whatever it is can help create this distance between where you live and then where you work. And I think that distance not only gives you kind of the mental switching that goes on, says, okay, now it's time to go to work, but it also means you can walk away from things. It's like I can go into another part of where I live and enjoy that space. So having that space not only does wonders for just the productivity side, but it also does give you something to look forward to, replicates a bit of that feel of going into the office, if you will. And I think that again, just does wonders for how you hunker down and spend your time.
Matt, thank you. Those are super clear, tangible, and very useful suggestions.
People don't get that much work done in an office. If you look at the numbers around productivity anyways, we spend 8 hours, 9 hours in an office, but we're really only working for maybe 4 to 6 of them. Yeah. So I think if we remember that that's the expectation of us doesn't change, it's just we have to hold ourselves accountable to doing the work. If we can put ourselves in that mindset that this is my job, it doesn't change because of me being remote, then I think we can be just as successful as everybody else, regardless of where you work.
Yeah, agreed. So along those lines, we're going through these times and they will, come to an end. And it is now for this foreseeable future, we are in the situation where we're in, and we all will be remote for quite some time. But once that changes and, there's the availability to go back to offices, do you think that more people will start to work remotely or request to work remotely once this is all passed?
I think yes and no, right? So yes, I think there will be more people requesting to work remotely, but I think it will be people that never had the chance before. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a big experiment, and for right reasons, but we're forcing people to move their working styles into their home. Now, for some roles, I'm a salesperson, I travel a lot. So that's not a big transition for someone like me, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that there isn't a value from an office setting. And so I think that in some ways, we're going to see people who didn't have the chance or the luxury of remote working before having a more of a desire to do so. And I think people that have been working remotely, that will continue to be the way it is. A lot of people work remotely out of convenience. I think it helps them with either location, scheduling, maybe their familial lives. And I think that's really important to remember that remote working is here to ensure that everyone has a chance to contribute regardless. But you will see people that will want to go back to an office. And I think when we have this kind of mass disconnect there is this yearning for reconnection. If you see it even with things like social media, you know, social media brought us together, it also pushed us apart. And so it caused people to care about community more. And so I think what we'll see happen is people have a greater appreciation of the office environment because of being, you know, told that they can't have that for an extended period. And then folks that didn't get the chance before will now be asking for remote working opportunities and will be unable to have them. So when I think about, you know, education, for example, a lot of teachers are adapting to how do they train students or how do they educate students at a distance. And I'm not saying that that's going to replace the classroom, but I think in general, we will see the rise of remote work and the ways people remote work, but we'll see more roles having exposure to it, which I think is the really powerful thing that's going to happen, is that more people have the ability to do it, which I think will create more flexible working for everybody and give people more sense of control of their of how they get work done and what makes them most productive.
Matt, that's a great wrap up. Thank you for focusing on how we can support each other, the importance of supporting and focusing on employee well-being, and also just how we connect better as people within organizations.
Thank you, Patrick, and I look forward to seeing you again in person very soon.
Businesses are going to have to adapt and evolve to incorporate greater flexible working. They're going to need to be better suited to meet employees' needs over the next few years. These are incredibly challenging times for employees. However, we have a great opportunity to understand what's working well and what's not. In the next episode, we're going to be focused on management. We're going to speak to two managers from our customer success team and also a manager from a business that has been successfully operating with a primarily remote workforce.